Well, thank you for that. Appreciate the wonderful worship that we can have. And you know, in prison, on one side, we do two prisons up there. The one has good music, and so we all sing good there. But then when we go to the other one, there's really no music or anything, and nobody knows how to sing. But we trudge through it, and we do it. And I think a lot of times we're glad it's over. But anyway, I'm be thankful that it's not that way here. Amen. Amen. We got people who will play, and we've got singers, and so it's good. Appreciate things like that, because when you don't have it, you'll pray that you get it back. So, you know, we're preparing for the great event for Christmas, celebrating the birth of our Savior. And a lot of times I don't do messages that follow along with that. I don't know why I don't. I just try to search the Lord out, you know, and it's like, all right, Lord, what do you want? You know, these are your people. And you know what they need to hear and what we need to grasp out of what you're doing here. So anyway, turn with me, if you would, to Luke's Gospel, chapter 13. Luke 13. You know, last week we talked about when Jesus washed the feet of the disciples. And so we're going to, I think, add quite a bit to that this week, which I think is really important. And honestly, I don't know if I grasp. A lot of times we have a hard time grasping things right away of maybe what the Lord's trying to share with us. You know, I study it all week. When I prepare and as I search and I want answers, I want to know about this. So, you know, I'm ready to receive it. Not only preach it, but receive it. And sitting out in a congregation is just thrown at you. And it's like, wow, what do I do with all of this? So you had a week to mull it out. Hopefully you thought about it and prayed about it a little bit more. I think it's really important that we do that, folks. Because my prayer has always been, God, don't let me waste your time and don't let me waste the people's time. I want to share your word, your message, your way. I don't want to honeycoat it. I don't want to just sweeten it up so everybody, you know, gets rotten teeth over it. I don't want to do that. So that's why I believe the Lord just wants things to be meaningful to us. So pray about what I share. You know, if you don't agree, that's our right. Just realize you're probably wrong. And pray about it, study about it, and then you'll understand. Amen. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for this time and for your people. Father, you're so good to us. Lord, this time that we're getting ready to and starting to celebrate now, the gift that you gave us all, that without this gift, Lord, we would have no hope, no chance of ever seeing you or being with you. So Lord, thank you. Thank you for what you've given us, this gift of peace and of grace and of love. And he's our salvation. Thank you, Father. Bless this message, I pray. Touch your people, Lord, in a special way. And Lord, we give you the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, Luke 13, if you go down to verse 22, let's talk a little bit about the narrow way. I don't know why we're stuck on a lot of different salvation message and stuff. I don't understand it myself. I know a lot of people probably think that You know, we're all saved. I heard that once when I did a youth conference, and this preacher said, Jim, why are you preaching on salvation? I said, what is your promise? I said, don't you know that all of these kids are deacons' kids and elders' kids and pastors' kids? And he said, here, you're preaching on salvation, which you're wasting our time, basically, is what he's saying. And you know, I prayed about it, and I tried to change the message that night. And the Lord wouldn't let me. He wouldn't let me. So I said, all right, Lord, I'm going with it. You know more than he does, and you know more than I do. So I'm just going to trust you. So we went, and I preached a salvation message that night, and there was probably 40 kids that were saved that night. So let's just follow what the Lord says. Even though we don't understand and we don't get it right away, it's okay. God loves us, and he'll lead us. But we got to let him do that in our lives. So anyway, here's what somebody really asked. It said in verse 22, it says, and he went through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. And one said to him, Lord, are there few who are saved? And he said this to them. He said, strive to enter through the narrow gate. For many, I say to you, will seek to enter and will not be able. Wow. They want to go there, but they're not going to be able. What's that all about? So it's not people that hate God and don't want anything to do with God. It's people who want to go and can't. So let's just kind of look at that. Let me ask you this. Have you ever heard a statement of, and I was in a denomination that taught this, and probably the ones that invented it, and it is this, once saved, always saved? And you know, when I heard that and believed it, that gave me great comfort. Because then I really didn't care about how I really lived and how God seen me and how I failed or if I failed. It relaxed me in such a way that it just kind of put me to sleep as a Christian. It's like, why make an effort? I asked one minister, because I was concerned about this after a while. It was like God was dealing with me. And I asked this one minister, I said, well, you know, with me being saved now, I said, what if the time came that I got angry at God and I didn't want to go to heaven and be with him anymore? Then what? And he said, you would go to heaven kicking and screaming. Now, that's how far people take it. And that's what they believe. I don't know what you believe, but folks, I want to tell you, it's a lie. It's a lie from the pit of hell. It's a lie from Satan, I believe himself. So you don't have to believe me, and you keep going that way. Hopefully it doesn't put you to sleep like it did me. But I want to tell you, it's not true. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, by grace you're saved through faith, and not of works. That's what it says. So everybody says, well, I didn't earn it to begin with, so therefore how can you lose something you didn't earn? So we reason out things. But folks, I want to tell you, you come to Jesus, yes, we need his grace that he's given us, Jesus who came. We need that grace, and that grace will save us, yes, through faith because we believe in what God did for us. But it doesn't say that we just throw carelessness to the wind and don't worry about it and just think that, hey, I'm saved by grace, I'm okay. What about the scripture then that we just read? Strive, Jesus said in verse 24, strive to enter through the narrow gate. Strive means to work, to make a purpose. Not just stumble around and do what you want and all of a sudden you're there. But he says, strive to enter through the narrow gate. And he says that there's many, I say to you, will seek to enter and will not be able. Folks, I don't want the door slammed on my face. And I don't want the door slammed on any of your faces. That's why I say there's times I go to the Lord and say, God, is there sin in my life? Is there something I'm doing wrong? Lord, is there someone I haven't forgiven in my life? Reveal that to me so that I can forgive them. Folks, I'm going to tell you this. According to Scripture, the Lord says this. And here goes with your once saved, always saved. He said, if you don't forgive, neither will I forgive you. And I want to tell you, there's no sin in heaven. And there's no sinners in heaven. So if God didn't forgive you, don't think you're going to go there anyway. Folks, this unforgiveness is serious. And I have friends that are angry and bitter about people and things. And you got to deal with it. Besides this, I'll tell you a little secret. When you hold a grudge, you're angry and you refuse to forgive someone, you're the one that's suffering. You're most miserable. You don't want to be in the same room with them. You don't even like driving by their house. And you don't like people talking good about them. Because you don't want them blessed. They don't deserve it. They hurt you. And they need to pay. And they probably don't even know you're upset with them. And could care less. So who's suffering? Who's suffering? We are. Because we don't do it God's way. Right? Romans 6, 1 through 2 says this. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? This is Paul speaking. He said, what's the deal? You want to stay in sin because it's grace? You think it's all okay? That God doesn't really care? He said, you can't do that. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And he says, certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? You know, a lot of people may pray the prayer. They may join the church. And they think they're okay. But folks, I'm going to tell you, if your heart didn't change, if your likes and your desires didn't change to good, maybe not. I lost all of my friends. I didn't lose them. I kind of walked away from them. Because that wasn't me anymore. That was my old lifestyle. My lifestyle now has changed. I can't stand it anymore. It's not that I thought I was so good and I just wanted to serve God. No, it just wasn't me anymore. It all changed. See, God did that work in me. I didn't earn it. God gave it to me and he did it through me. See, this is what life is all about. We got to learn to let go and let God. Amen? So we don't continue to sin. James chapter 2, verses 18, I want to hit 26 as well. It says this. But someone will say, you have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without your works. Do y'all ever try to do that? You say you love somebody and yet you talk bad about them. You gossip about them. You never help them. You only criticize. And yet you can say to yourself that you love them. See, you can't show your love without your works. It doesn't work. And he says, and I will show you my faith by my works. See, my works, I'm not earning salvation. God gave that to me. But now I want to walk in it because he changed my heart. That's not me anymore. I don't like that anymore. Now I want to love on people. I want to help them. When I see them hurting, I hurt. See, it's all changed. It's all different. And in that, when it's authentic and your heart is changed, you want to serve them. You want to help them. When they're in need, you go there. If you've got the means to help them, and you do that. So our lives change. It's not this, I'm trying to be good, and I'm getting a little better. But folks, we need to continue to look at our heart, and that's why I say, I pray to God, I say, God, I don't want to go to hell. I know how bad it is. I know it's a place without anything to do with God. And I don't want to go there. So I always check in with God. I say, God, it's not fear. Maybe you can call it fear. But I don't want to go to hell. God did not call me to go to hell. And so I always want to make sure, God, I'm on the right track. Am I doing the right thing? Am I pleasing to you? So I want to know, reveal to me if there's sin in my heart. You know, a lot of times you can have sin there and don't really know it until the Holy Spirit starts to convict, right? And then it says, for as the body without the Spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Now, the truth about salvation. Let's look verse 25 now, 25 through 30. When once the master of the house has risen up and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and knocking on the door saying, Lord, Lord, open for us. And he will answer and say to you, I do not know you or where you come from. Then you will begin to say, we ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets. But he will say, I tell you, I do not know you, where you are from. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. Folks, he's talking about people trying to be good. And most of them are in church. And they don't know that they've got a problem. So, and then when they want to go, they think, man, I'm good, I'm set, I'm ready, no problem. And then the door's shut on them, and they're outside knocking. Right now, Jesus says, I stand at the door of your heart. And I knock. And if you hear me, if you'll open the door and let me in, he says, I'll sup with you. I'll spend time with you. I'll love you. I'll take care of your needs. I'll take on your prayers and all the hard times. I'll comfort you. See, that's grace. And Jesus is knocking on a door, and then he gets some preacher from Pelston to come in and kind of spew all over you sometimes. Because he's trying to shake you up, maybe. I don't know. But I know my preaching shakes me up a lot of times. And then verse 28. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. See, I don't want to be in a place where if you happen to go to hell, which I hope not, if I got anything to say about it, I want to make you miserable until you know for sure that you're saved. I don't care if you made a decision 50 years ago, like me. Folks, it's just as new to me as when it happened about 50 years or so ago. But to be thrust out, you're not going to be able to say, well, to me, Jim, you didn't tell me. Jim, you did. Why didn't you tell me? You preached all these flowery messages, and we loved them, and we felt good about them. And now I'm in hell. Why didn't you tell me? What kind of a preacher are you? And you see, if I was like that, I'd probably be in hell with you. See, I'd rather get you saved, and even if you're angry at me, but at least you'd be going to heaven. But you would have to forgive me, right? So they will come from the east and the west, from the north and the south, and sit down in the kingdom of God. And indeed, there are last who will be first, and there will be the first who will be last. You know, Matthew 22:14 says this, and this is the Amplified. It says, "For many are called." Folks, y'all have been called. God's put it on your heart. The Holy Spirit led you. You're part of a church. You're serving God. But it says, many are called, but few are chosen. And that's what we have to understand. We can be called, but folks, we've got to follow through. You know, we talked last week. Peter almost lost everything. Do y'all know that? Remember when in John 13, I think it's verses 6 through 8, it talks about when Jesus came to Peter. And Peter said, are you going to wash my feet? Because he had done everybody else's. And Jesus said, well, Peter, you don't understand what I'm doing now. That's what the Lord wants to say to you. You may not understand why I'm preaching and the words are coming across the way they are, but you'll know later. And then Peter went on to say, Lord, you're not going to wash my feet. I'm not going to let you. And you know that grieved Jesus, because there's a lot of times we come in here, we're called. And we come in here to church, and there's things that are shared and said, and it goes over our heads. We don't make the choice to do it. Basically, what we're doing is saying, I'm not interested. I'm okay. I'm not going to do that. I feel good about where I'm at. So don't bother me. Just like Peter was saying, you know what Jesus said to him? And why we can be called and yet not chosen? Because Jesus said this to Peter when he rejected what he was saying. He said to Peter, if I don't wash your feet, you'll have no part in me. Peter would have lost everything. He'd have lost it all. Just like many, many good people in this world, they're losing it all. There's no good people in heaven. Y'all know that? They're all in hell with the other bad people. God doesn't take good people. He takes the saved people who are surrendered to him, who said yes to him. This is probably not, let's say maybe it's not for you, but maybe you could use it to share with someone else, right? So this is not wasted. I'm teaching you how to witness. Why won't they love you if you share like me? Wow. Well, that's how I got saved. When a guy asked me if I was going to heaven or hell, I said, well, I'm going to heaven. See, I was one of those people. And then the Lord told me later, just a few minutes later, he says, Jim, if you died tonight, you'd go straight to hell. I said, but God. And there's no but. And it scared me. And I think there's a lot of other people, maybe they need to be scared. Somebody told me, oh, I don't believe in this scaring thing. Well, I would still be lost if I didn't get scared. Doesn't it say to fear the Lord? Folks, God is love and he loves you, but I want to tell you, when you don't accept him and the time comes, the door's closed. And you're going to hell. Not because he wanted it, but it's because that's what you did. That's what you wanted. See, God gives us our way. He doesn't make us do things that we don't want to do. He allows it. He'll convict and he'll talk with us, but he'll allow it. And that's even to going to hell. You know, as when we're talking about the foot washing, Jesus washing the disciples' feet, and Peter refusing, and then Peter said, oh Lord, you can wash my feet, but not only my feet, but do my hands and my head as well. But Jesus said this to him. He said, no, those that have taken a bath are already clean. All they need is to have their feet washed. He's saying you can be saved and you'll still need your feet washed, is what he's saying. You see, when we go out into the world, do y'all know that you get kind of contaminated? Not that you lose your salvation. That's not what I'm saying. But you kind of get the cares of the world. You kind of carry when you're praying for a loved one and you're hoping for change and it's not happening. Or when you're concerned about your bills, or you got a friend in need, or, you know, all of these things go on. In fact, Jesus said, he said, when you go into a town, when he sent his disciples out to share, he said this. He said, when you go into a house, you need to stay there. But he says, if they reject you and they don't want to receive what you're saying, he said, you go out of that town or out of that house. And he says, then just shake the dust off of your feet and it'll be a testimony against them. But Jesus says, let me wash your feet. Let me get these contaminants off of you so that you can be refreshed again and ready for the next day. See, that's what the foot washing's all about, I think. It's also for submission, submitting to it. Each day we need to have. I need it. Maybe you don't. But I try to have a foot washing every day. Every morning. I want to be with the Lord. And I want him to wash me, cleanse me, to refresh me. Because I want to be ready. And I don't want to carry the junk of the world on me. So I leave it with him. He says, come to me, all you that are weary and heavy laden. He says, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Don't be carrying the world's junk. We need our feet washed, folks. There's a lot of contaminants out there. There's bad things. Really, what happens when we don't wash our feet? We're a frog in the water, slowly being heated. That's what it is. Don't they talk about lukewarm Christians? Where you're a lukewarm frog, maybe. Amen? Folks, the world makes you lukewarm. It takes the heat away. You're all excited about God in church. You go out in the world and then the bombarding starts. You get kicked in the stomach. Karen, you all right? You're making me laugh now. Well, at least I got one leaving happy. You know, Philippians 2:12 says this. It says, work out your own salvation. Work it out. You're going to realize what's good, what's bad, what the Lord is calling you to do, what he wants you to do. It's not for you to decide, oh, no, I'm not doing that. Folks, I talk about the Holy Spirit once in a while because he's special in my life. And I wouldn't be the preacher today if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit. And so I share him all the time. I don't hide him. And he uses a lot of the gifts through me at different times. And I'm not bragging, I'm just telling you where I am with the Holy Spirit. Well, I share that in another big group. And they called me to account. First, they kicked me out. And then I called them. We had a meeting because it was going to eliminate me from ever going to the prison. They took everything away from me. And so I went back and we had the meeting, and all they could complain about is I talked about the Holy Spirit once in a while. Because they don't believe in it. You can't talk that Pentecostal type of talk around us. It's not real. That's why the preacher that was biggest on me, against me, he said, you can't preach the whole Bible. Because I told him, I said, I only preach the word. And he says, you can't do that. And I'm like, well, what pages do you tear out? He said, there's Pentecostal verses in there about the Holy Spirit and about giftings, and especially, oh, tongues. Heaven forbid. And so I had to promise them that with them I would not talk about the Holy Spirit. And so therefore I don't talk to them. Unless the Lord will tell me to go and to preach, and that will be on the Holy Spirit, I'm sure. Folks, you got to understand, God's given me a heart for him. And when I have a heart for him, then I have a heart for people. And I can love you enough to even allow you to be angry at me for the way I preach. But if I can bring in, the Holy Spirit can use it to convict and touch your heart and get you right with God. To me, I think it's worth it. What good is it if I don't share the truth with all my heart? You know, if I preach like this in some churches, they don't want me back. It's okay, God will open other doors. I hate that. I think you're making a big mistake, not because it's me, but it's because I know God's trying to share something with you. Folks, I'm real. I'm out in the open. I don't hide anything. What you see my wife and I doing around you, we're the same way at home. You know, I see people coming to church, they're fighting on the way in, not here. Other churches. You can see them fighting and they're yelling and hollering at the kids and they're all ruffled and they get out and they straighten. Oh, hi, brother. Praise the Lord. And you just had a knockdown, drag out fight all the way to church. Folks, we're real and we're determined to be real. That's why I work hard not to make her angry before we come to church. Because everybody will see it and know it. Folks, is this helping you at all? Let's be real with God. He loves you. He's not condemning you in any way. But he wants to make sure that you're saved, that you know that you know. Now we can all go to heaven together. Wouldn't that be nice? Maybe we'll have our own cloud. Joyce would be playing for us. Lloyd would be on his harmonica. We'll have a good time. So I love you, and folks, I'm gonna have an invitation. If God's been dealing with you about something, or if there's questions that came up to you, you know, through this message, or maybe you just gotta pray and have them help, you know, pray for you so that you can forgive me. Whatever it takes, go pray. So we're gonna have that invitation. We're gonna have people in the back. Lloyd and I will be here in the front. But we would kind of rather, most of you, if you could go to the back so there's more privacy for you. But I think it's important. That's why Jesus, when he had a supper, what did he do at the end? He washed their feet. And so we just ate the word of God, hopefully. Now it's time. Maybe go back and let's get our feet washed. Let's get ready for God to serve him with all of our heart. Just to renew ourselves with him. Amen. Father, thank you for your word. Lord, change us. Draw us. Lord, if we're missing out, if we're really not saved like we've always thought, or so many years, Lord, that you would just convict us that it's okay, but now we can go and receive and know that we're saved. Father, as others go, that they just need a good foot washing so they can be ready for the week to serve you. We ask, Lord, that you would give them the strength and the direction. Father, our prayer warriors that are back there to receive them, Lord, speak through them the prayer of faith that will change their lives forever. And Lord, I thank you so much for that. In Jesus' name. Amen. So if you would just, those of you that are maybe not going to prayer, if you could just sit maybe for a little while, just for a few minutes, if that would be all right. And prayer warriors, why don't you go on back if you would. But kind of pray for what you heard and about those that may want prayer.